This is episode 220, recorded September 9th, 2014.
Greetings, Aquariumaxers.
Hello.
You know, just to put it out there, thank you to all the Aquariumaxers who bought a book.
Yay.
And we've had a couple of international purchases, which is kind of nice. So keep it coming. We've even had Aquariumaxers share it on other pages.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for doing that. Carlos in New York said that he liked his copy too, and that it was very informative.
So that's good.
Yeah. Thank you for spreading the word, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for purchasing the book, things like that.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we may have scared a few people off with the unboxing episode last time, because we just have one Google voicemail today.
You think that scared people?
I think I scared people. Not you. You're not scary.
Oh, I don't know.
I think maybe they thought, wow, Kelly's really gone off the deep end this time. They may be right. I was a little...
Well, it was experimental podcasting.
Avant-garde aquarium podcasting.
Yeah, but hey, the light looks good. Works well.
Yeah, the light looks great.
And so, yeah, well, let's just hit this episode. Hit the ground running. What do we got today?
We have a Google voicemail from Mike in Oregon. He's been talking about his tank that he's trying to put cichlids in.
All right.
Let's take a listen.
Okay. There we go. Thank you, Mike, for continuing this project
discussion
with us. Yeah, this discussion of your project. I really like the fact that you've been doing that. The Google messages are always fun. We like when we get voice messages, and it lends a different bit of variety to the podcast, and it also is a good way to get some information in a short amount of time. So, I can see why it would be difficult to choose to get like six young cichlids at a time, because you're trying to get adult females. You want to reduce the possibility of aggression, and That's certainly something to think about. It's certain Mbuna cichlids. I'm not sure which species you're going with. But certain Mbunas are extremely aggressive to all males of their species. Others less so. Some of them get along pretty well in communities where there are multiple males and multiple females. It just depends on the species. As long as they have plenty of hiding places, I'm going to make sure that's clear. Plenty of hiding places, lots of space, and multiples of both sexes, then you can have a fairly decent, fairly peaceful, if the word peaceful can ever apply to a Mbunatang, situation. But if you have a specific species that can be really aggressive, and there are a number of those out there, then certainly there are quite a few where the male, you only want one per tank. So if that's the issue, I can understand why you'd only want to get females. It does still cause the difficulty of putting only two of them in a tank at a time. The male's aggression is going to be, he's more likely to be aggressive with smaller numbers of females in the tank than with larger numbers of females.
Will the females be aggressive towards each other?
Well, it's not as big a deal. Not that there won't be any aggression at all among the females, necessarily. And once again, this depends a lot on species and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't get as much aggression among females of a lot of species as you will among males. Not to say that it won't happen.
They kind of like betas, or beta females more aggressive? Because you have to have a certain number of them to have a beta sorority tank.
Right. Well, and betas vary widely, individually.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's some variation of aggression among individual cichlids as well. But considering there are so many species of Mbunas, it's hard to say. Well, yeah. But I can say just in general that the males tend to be a bit more aggressive. That's not... doesn't mean the females aren't aggressive, and doesn't mean there aren't species where the female is really aggressive either.
Did he tell us what species he wanted?
I don't think he did. He may have. If he did so, it was a few episodes ago, and I don't remember what it was. But one thing you can do, we were talking about this just a minute ago, actually, and Kelly had a good suggestion for helping to reduce the aggression. Do you remember what that was?
What did I say a few minutes ago? Sorry. Oh, if you're adding them a couple of times, every time you add them, redo the aquascaping, the rocks, right, and whatever you've got in there.
Which, with Imbunas, is likely to be rocks, and depending on your taste, maybe some plastic plants. But you're not going to have a lot of real live plants in there, most likely, because Imbunas tend to tear them up. But in terms of the hardscape, yeah, you can rearrange it a lot.
Because if they've already carved out a territory that they're going to be grumpy about defending, then that territory's gone because it's in a different shape, so it's gone. They have to reestablish territories at the same time as the new fish coming in.
Right. So as soon as your new fish are over their quarantine period, rearrange everything and put the new fish in at the same time. If you do that, that will help.
It's just a lot of work if you're going to add in batches.
Every time you keep adding the fish, you're going to have to do that. But
So don't glue your rocks together yet.
On the bright side, if you can experiment with lots of different aquascapes and see which one you really like and take a picture of the one you like and then go back to it later. I did that before.
That's true.
I have done that before. I mean, yeah, where experiment with it, take a picture of it, and if I need to move it, I can always go back by referring to the picture. Yeah, one thing to think about too, I think the Kelly's idea of moving the decor around is a really good one, and that could help. And it's also something to think about is that even that won't guarantee the safety of your fish. There's going to be some risk involved. But, you know, there's always risk involved in dealing with some aggressive fish. You know, and imbunas are just like that. You're going to get some aggression, and you can try to minimize it, but you're not going to eliminate it. It will never be eliminated. I remember our imbuna tank that we had years ago, we had times when we wouldn't have any serious aggression. We'd have little squabbles every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you remember those cobalt blues that, like, every morning right. they'd come out and be mad at each other and face off, but they never really hurt each other. But they were pushing each other around and posturing at each other and so on. But anyway, the tank did fairly well for a while with almost no, like, injuries. And then one day, somebody, I don't even remember who it was, maybe my uncle or somebody dropped by some fish when I wasn't even there, and they were mbunas, and we were kind of stuck, and so you had to put them in the tank because brought them by in a bucket or something.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. I remember that there were some of the, the red zebras in there, uh-huh. and I can't remember what else was in there, but somebody had dropped a few by, and when I came home, they were in the tank. And so by that time, you know, it happened.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, well,
that was a long time ago.
This was, a dozen years ago or something.
Well, you know what my dad always says?
What?
I keep meaning to eat more blueberries to increase my memory, but I forget to eat them.
Well, it was a good while ago. But we put them in, and, well, I didn't put them in, but they got put in, and I found them there, and I was kind of surprised. Oh, I have more cichlids than I thought I did. And surprisingly, everything went okay for a little while. And then one day, one of them was dead. One of the new ones was dead. Or what was it? No, it was one of the new ones had its caudal fin completely bitten off. And so I put it in an isolation chamber in the tank, you know, cordoned off an area of the tank somehow, and it was healing and the tail was getting better, and I thought, oh great. And then I released it, for lack of a better plan, back into the tank, and I think I may have arranged the decor again, you know, I don't remember for sure what I did to try to prevent aggression. But and then there was another bout of violence, and about three fish, I think, died in that.
Wow.
And, you know, this was, it's just, it happens sometimes, and probably those were not the best conditions to prevent it. But in general, that tank went for quite a long time.
And the reason we didn't have any more is because we had to move to Hawaii, so right. we had to sell it.
And it went along without too much aggression and tended to do well, but it had a couple of bouts where, you know, we lost some fish because of that. But yeah, by the time we took it down, we had a healthy crop of fish in there. There were babies of a couple species in there, and we had to end up selling it for really cheap to...
Somebody got a good deal.
Got a good deal, so because we had to leave the continent. So, anyway, part of it is that there are principles of fish keeping that generally tend to hold true, and then there are always exceptions where something works when you don't really expect it to work, or you expect something to work and it doesn't, and so on. So,
well, you know what Captain Barbossa says?
What?
They're more like guidelines.
So, yeah, in a way that's true, and while it might not be the ideal situation to put just a couple of female fish in there two at a time, it may work. You never know. And I can see why the species you're interested in not being available in your area, you have to look at some other options, and that may be your best option by just getting females, if that's what you want to do. So you certainly let us know how it works. If it does work, that will be great, and we hope it does. But either way, we'd like to hear about it and see what you think. And do try rearranging the decor. Sometimes it can be helpful to feed the resident fish just before you introduce the other fish and turn off the lights.
What does turning off the lights do?
Well, it changes things. It can signal to the fish, oh, it's time to, you know, kind of relax and go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And so what I would do is rearrange the decor right before you float the bag. And then if you're going to do that, if you already have your temperature, your water conditions, are ideal, same pH, same temperature, and so on, you don't really need to float the bag because your water is likely to be very similar. But as soon as you introduce the new fish,
the decor should
decor goes right before that, then introduce the new fish, and maybe feed the fish right before you introduce them or right after, and then after the fish have eaten, turn off the light early that day.
Okay.
And that may help reduce some aggression, and by the time the mornings come, maybe some of the new fish have found a place to hide, hopefully, and that may help.
So let us know how it goes.
Our best suggestions, I think, for minimizing the risk, and yeah, let us know how it goes. I think that's all for tonight.
I think so.
So, may the fish
be with you.
And may they not beat each other to a pulp.
No, no pulp and no beating.